For those of you who are here for the first time, we began a study in the New Testament book of 2 Peter, an epistle, a letter written by the Apostle Peter. 2 Peter, if you'd open your Bibles there, chapter number 1. But to tell you the truth, as I always do, we won't be parking there in 2 Peter for very long. We'll be all over the place this morning. So get your Bibles ready to move. 2 Peter chapter 1. There's a lot of ground to cover this morning. I'll just give you a brief reminder this morning of what we've looked at so far. Verses 1 through 4, if you've been here, you know that there is a list of those things that God freely gives us who trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. Gives those things to us for free as gifts. Then verses 5 through 7 lists those things which God calls upon us to add to our great salvation so that we can live a Christ-like life here in this world right now. And so the Bible says in verse number 5, "And beside this, giving all diligence," that's an active pursuit, that's laboring to add these things, "add to your faith virtue," that's doing good, doing right. Well, how do you know you're doing the right good? By adding to virtue knowledge, that's understanding and a grasp of the Holy Scripture, so you know that the good you're doing is correct according to God. Verse 6, and to knowledge temperance. Okay, so once you've got that, you're adding that knowledge, you can begin to add temperance. That is the ability to govern and control your emotions and your will. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. Let's pray one more time. Heavenly Father, as we continue in this lesson today on patience, I pray, Lord, you would bring to our hearts, our minds, the importance of being patient and help us to understand the purpose for it and the problems with being impatient, and that we might represent you well and glorify you in our lives on this earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so we have thus far discussed virtue, knowledge, temperance, and godliness. And so that leaves us this morning to backtrack a little bit and look at patience. Patience. Now, God never tries your patience. He tries your faith to bring about patience. People don't even try your patience. They try your faith to bring about patience. And the thing is, everyone has to wait, right? Anybody here never had to wait for something? All right. Waiting, though, is not patience. All right? You can wait patiently or you can wait impatiently. It's up to you. Okay? But the fact is, you are going to wait in this life. Waiting, though, is not patience. Patience is waiting in faith without fretting, worrying, without anger, and without unrest. And so if I trust God, I wait without anger. If I trust God, I wait without unrest. If I trust God, I wait, I endure without upheaval in my life. If I'm not sure that things are running according to God's plan, if I'm not sure that God's plan is best, if I'm not sure that everything really is working together for good in my life, well, then patience just goes by the wayside, and I wait without patience. The waiting, though, is it's not an option. You are going to wait, but your patience is an option. That's what you're being told to add to your faith. Now, when we wait without patience, when we wait without faith and give way to this fretting and or this anger or unrest, these actions that show a lack of patience are in reality displays of self-love. Right back to this selfishness. It's all about me, me, me. Okay? When you're impatient, it's because you love yourself. Well, why am I angry with God? Because, well, he didn't run the universe the way I wanted it run. Why am I angry with that person? Because they forgot that I'm supposed to be on the throne of their life as well as the throne of mine. I am upset because I was made to wait. I was upset because I was inconvenienced. I was upset because God didn't move on my timetable. And so a lack of patience, we see, is a spiritual problem. It testifies to the fact that I am still occupied with self, and I am still in love with self, as has been the case with all of these. Now, it is necessary for me to be patient with God and patient with man, and at times patient with both at the same time. So let's take a look. Watch the triplets here in Romans. Go to the book of Romans, New Testament book of Romans, chapter 12. Romans chapter number 12, and we'll look at, I want to zoom in on verse number 12, but we'll back up to verse number 10. Romans chapter 12, beginning with verse number 10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. And that's one we'll be looking at next week, Lord willing. In honor, preferring one another. Okay, if you preferred every other person above yourself, you'd be well on your way to being patient, and you'd be well on your way to being kind, putting others first. Verse number 11, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Now watch, rejoicing in hope. What keeps me joyful when God is not treating me the way that I want him to? My hope, that's going to result in something very good. My hope that even though it's something I'm not appreciating or enjoying right now, I know it's something that will turn out to be good because God has made it that way. What keeps me joyful when man is not treating me the way that I think he should? My hope that this is going to work out to be something very, very good. If I, by faith, believe that God really does have a purpose and a plan for my life, and that everything that comes into my life works together for good, because I love God, to that purpose and plan, I stay joyful. Not because things are the way I want them to be right now, but because I have a certain hope that they will be. That they will be the way I want them to be when all of it plays out. Okay? Watch the second part of this. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. Now think about it. Why would there be any verses at all in the Bible about patience if things were always going to be the way that I wanted them to be? Why are we surprised that God didn't jump when we said jump? when there are verses in the Bible about patience? Why should we be surprised that somebody is putting us through this or causing us to endure that when we have all these verses in the Bible about patience? Does not the scriptural teaching regarding patience imply that there is going to be some tribulation that we're going to have to face, some difficulty in our life? All right, so how do I stay patient in those times when I need it? Come on, think about it. It's easy to be patient when you don't have to be, just like it's easy to be joyful when everything is going wonderfully. But how do I continue to rejoice? It's because of hope. And the hope that I'm looking forward to allows me to be patient during the tribulation that I'm not all that excited about. You know, who's excited about having to go through tribulation, trying times? Well, you can get through it if you rejoice in hope. And then, so patient, you can be patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, it says. Now what happens? My hope in God in the future is shaken by my unhappiness with God in the present. And it breaks my communion with God. I stop praying and I start fretting, okay, worrying. I stop praying and I start attacking. I stop praying and I start being angry and upset. I stop praying and I start being in despair. Why? Why am I not praying and hoping? Why am I not praying and rejoicing? Because I've become occupied with temporary that temporary inconvenience, and it has taken me away from the source of my joy, which is God, who will make even this redound to his glory once I get through it. So you see how the three go together. There's something going on in my life right now. I mean, some horrible thing like the traffic signal turned red. I mean, if you think a lack of patience is not a problem, look how small a matter it takes to get us so irritated. Look how little an inconvenience it takes to take us out of the realm of joyful communion with the Lord and into the realm of, why did that happen to me? It doesn't have to be a big thing, man. If the little things affect us like that, what are we going to do when something big happens? So what do I have to do? I have to have the long, hopeful view and stay joyful. I have to have the instant, momentary, heavenly view to stay in communion with the Lord. And that enables me to patiently endure whatever it is that causes me to have to hope and to have to pray. I mean, look, if everything's going the way that you want it to, there's no reason to pray. If everything's all kingdom-like and heaven-like now, there's no reason to hope. All of these verses imply that things are not going to go our way. But there's no reason to lose joy, no reason to lose a right relationship with God or with any of his people. All right, let's look in the Psalms, Psalm 37. Let's look at some cases where we must be patient with God. Patient with God? Doesn't that kind of sound blasphemous to even say that? Well, we're going to look where we must be patient with God. Okay, I'll tell you, there's no There's a reason why the Lord set forth among the requirements for spiritual leadership in the church that a man have children. And it's because you learn so much about God from trying to raise children. And one of the things you learn is you can ask, and I can tell you the answer, but my telling you wouldn't solve the mystery for you. There are some things that an adult cannot explain to a child. There are some things that, yeah, there's a reason, there's a good reason, but it's not a reason that can be communicated to a five-year-old. Yes, there are reasons, but not reasons that can be grasped or understood by an eight-year-old. Yes, there's reasons, but if you couldn't get it at five and you couldn't get it at eight, there's no way you're going to get it at 17. I can't explain it to you. You just got to trust me. Stay in a right relationship with me until we get to the other side of this thing, and you'll see that, yeah, I knew what I was talking about. And it's the same thing between God and man. God, why are you doing this? As if it would make perfect sense if he told you. God, why did you let that happen? Like you'd get it, you'd understand it. We'll be talking about Job in a few minutes, a little bit. But for 30-some chapters, Job just kept saying, let me at God. Let me hear from God. Let me ask God some questions. Give me God face to face. And so when God finally showed up, Job didn't have a thing to say. The Lord started asking things like, Job, before you ask me what I'm doing right now, you know, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Job, the sun, the moon, the stars up there, tell me, how does all that work? And then we'll get to your question. And after about two chapters of God asking Job a series of questions designed to show Job they could not really communicate eye to eye, man to man, face to face. Well, then Job just decided he would take his trials and troubles and praise God tomorrow. But we get impatient with God. We really do. And so the psalmist says this, Psalm 37, verse number 7, 37:7, rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Let me paraphrase. If something or someone is bothering you, whatever the case may be, don't let yourself get so irritated that it eats away at you and causes you to do evil. Wait on God. I mean, look, do you know why we start lashing out at people, getting angry? And it's because God didn't do anything. You know why we go on the attack? Because God just let them get away with it. You know why we start trying to destroy and tear down and divide? Because I consider myself to have been mistreated, and I told God about it, and he didn't do anything about it. So I'm going to have to step in and do what God wasn't God enough to do. That's the thinking. Do you know what the psalmist said? He says the best thing for you to do is just scrap that anger. Get rid of the anger. Scrap that aggression. Scrap that fretting. What is fretting? Letting something bother you, irritate you, okay, get you bitter. And then wait on God. Here's why. it might turn out that you were the evildoer. It might turn out that you just didn't have all the information. You didn't have a full understanding of the situation. Okay? Or it might turn out that you got what you had coming to you. You actually deserved it. Might turn out there was a greater blessing on the other side of what the Lord allowed you to go through. The Bible says here, wait patiently for God. Don't try to do what you think is His business because you think He's not doing it. He'll do it if it needs to be done, and He'll do it at the right time. Look, I think the Bible's pretty clear, for example, about abortion. And it's very clear on killing. Best thing for you to do is not to go kill people for performing abortions because you think God isn't moving fast enough. I mean, I know that's a simple example, but let's be fair about it. We say things all the time like, boy, I tell you, if I was running things, I'd do this, I'd do that, I'd do things differently. And if I was God, I'd do this and I'd do that. But God, guess what? God is not vacating His throne. Nor is He asking advice about how to do things. If He does something, it'll be right. And so the best thing to do is just to find out what God told us to do and get busy enjoying that. And leave what God said He would do for God to do when He's ready to do it. Stop fretting about this man and that man and this woman and that woman and this person and that person and what they did to me, because all you're going to do is just get yourself into sin. You're going to do some wicked thing and lashing back at them. Okay? Now what's the end result of patiently waiting on God? Look at Psalm 40. Turn one page, probably. Psalm 40 and verse number 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit and out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. All right, so watch this again. First of all, notice that there is a horrible pit for a man who is waiting on God. Do you see that? There is miry clay for someone who is patiently looking to the Lord. But he says, I didn't stay in the horrible pit. I didn't stay in the miry clay. In His time, God brought me out. And now I'm standing on the solid rock. And verse 3, singing a new song. You know where that new song came from? God did something in my life that He hadn't done before. God wrought a work in my life that He hadn't wrought before. Now I've got one more song of praise to sing for my God. And there are going to be horrible pits in our lives, right? That's what it looks like to me, according to the Word of God. Is there going to be some miry clay times in our lives? Sure looks like it. So what's the thing to do in the meantime? Don't try to get even with the guy that dug the pit. Don't try and destroy the man that mixed the water in the mud and made that miry clay. Just stay there and trust God and praise God and hope in the Lord, and don't get angry and don't get bitter and don't start fretting. Trust God. So when He brings you out, you'd be much better off coming out, not leaving a trail of destroyed lives behind you because you got in the flesh while God wasn't moving fast enough for you. Just stay occupied with the Lord. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. New Testament, 2 Thessalonians, chapter number 3. Now, this is real practical stuff today. Practical stuff, stuff you can use in your life. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. Now, there's one person who has a right. The right. There's our big word of the day, right? The day of Laodicea. Laodicea means the rights of the people. I have a right. So, but one person has a right to be angry when they are mistreated. And that's the Lord, because He never mistreated anybody. The rest of us have all got it coming. We deserve it. Okay? Now, we may not deserve it from that particular guy that's serving it up, but if it hadn't come that way, it would have come some other way. But none of us can say, I don't deserve this. You hear this all the time out in the world about these innocent victims. I haven't met any innocent victims. Now, they might not have deserved what they got from that person, but they deserve something from somebody, I'm sure. We all do. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, the Bible says. There's none righteous, no, not one. And so sooner or later, the Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. All right, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 5. Says, and the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Now look at this. What do I have to have in order to patiently wait for Jesus Christ to show up and meet the need of the hour? What do I have to have? I have to love God. If I love me, what's going to happen is I'll get impatient. If I love God, I can stay patient. It comes down to a matter of a heart. What do I have to do? God has given me salvation. God's given me eternal life. God's given me exceeding great and precious promises. Why am I angry? Why am I upset? Why am I frustrated? Because I have all this stuff God gave me, but I don't love Him. My lack of love for the Lord has gotten me occupied with all this stuff. Think about a couple of newlyweds. A young couple just got married, so in love. They go out to a nice restaurant to eat, and if they have to sit there for a long time because they're very slow preparing the food, that just means it's more time they can sit there and stare at each other. That's all they care about. They're in love. If the food's not perfect, if it's not cooked right, it's okay. We're together. That's all that counts. I mean, really, think about it. Don't you put up with a lot when love is ruling the hour? Now, if you're just eating a meal and you just want to feed your face, and you're in a rush to get somewhere, and it doesn't come on time when I want it, then it's, hey, buddy, and out comes the anger and the impatience and who knows what. I'm telling you, love for the Lord is necessary if there's going to be patience. Love for me is going to render patience inoperative. It won't work. And if I don't get my way, then I'm not happy. James chapter 5. James 5. You know, look at Joseph. Joseph didn't deserve to be in prison, but he never got bitter about it. Daniel didn't deserve to be in the lion's den, but he didn't get bitter about that. James chapter 5, verse number 7. 5:7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Oh, when is he going to come? I thought he'd be here by now. Well, every saved person for the last 2,000 years thought he'd be here by now. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Now look what happens if you're not patient, because you love you and not God. Verse number 9. Grudge not one against the other. You know why saved people hold grudges? They refuse to forgive someone who did something, some terrible thing, because they didn't get it their way. You know what kind of saved people don't hold grudges? People that are patiently waiting for the Lord to work things out in their lives and the life of everybody they come in contact with. Okay, if you're holding a grudge this morning against some brother or against some sister in the Lord, it's a testimony that you love you. That's what it says. I'm patiently waiting for the Lord, so I don't hold grudges. If I'm holding grudges, I'm not patiently waiting for the Lord. Why can I not wait patiently for the Lord? Because he's not running the universe to my specifications. It's all about who's on the throne of your heart. So it says, grudge not one against the other, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Now, how many of you believe the Bible? It's not a trick question. How many of you believe the Bible? Amen. Well, when you get caught up in wanting to condemn somebody, that's what you're going to get, condemned. Okay, when you get caught up in trying to get people to join you in condemning somebody that you've lost patience with, that's what you're going to get. Okay, you're going to receive what you're trying to dish out. When you get caught up trying to destroy somebody because they made you unhappy, you're going to destroy yourself. Don't do it. Leave the devil to God. Leave the people you think are serving the devil to God. Leave the hurts and the slights and the betrayals and the misunderstandings to God. Keep the leaves swept off of your own front porch, and you'll be busy, so busy sweeping all day long, you won't have time to go next door and worry about your neighbor's front porch. All right? You get caught up in those grudges. You get caught up trying to get God or man to condemn somebody for you, and you are going to destroy yourself one way or another. Okay? It's going to eat you alive. I've been betrayed. I'm not going to get bitter against those people. I've been lied about. I've been hurt. I know my wife has been hurt. Our church has been hurt. But I'm not falling into that trap. I need the joy of the Lord. I need fellowship, good fellowship with all my brothers and sisters in Christ. If that fellowship gets severed, it's not going to be because the cleaver's in my hand. I don't want to be the one responsible for that broken fellowship. Okay? Because that Bible says, if I hold grudges, I get condemned, not the people that I want condemned. Okay, and remember, that word condemned, I just remind you, just in case someone's scratching their head saying, what? You're going to go to hell if you do that? Condemned doesn't always refer to going to hell. If you're a born-again child of God, you're not going to be condemned to hell. Okay, that's not what that's talking about. It's talking about something's going to happen to you that wouldn't have happened if you hadn't acted the way you did, got in the flesh because of your impatience. Okay? It says, behold, the judge standeth at the door. Verse 10, take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Is the Lord pitiful? Does he pity people? Yes. Then we should be pitiful. Is the Lord tender? Yes. Then we should be tender. Is the Lord merciful? Yes. Then we should be merciful. But you don't know what I'm going through. God does. He's got enough grace to cover it. All right, so we've got to be patient with God. God knows the right time to take care of things. Secondly, though, we've got to be patient with men, with each other. Okay, go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. If you're sitting there wondering, how long is this going to last, this Bible study? That just illustrates my point. Be patient. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse number 14. 5:14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. So notice in every one of those situations, patience is required. Okay? But notice it. Notice also it doesn't give you any reason to be patient toward them. Just be patient toward all men. And you know what that means? Why would I need to be told to be patient toward you if you weren't going to wear me out sometimes? Why would you be told to be patient towards me if I was always going to do the things the way you wanted me to do them? I mean, come on, it's right there. You know, yes, someone says, well, you know, I used to go to church, but somebody did this and somebody did that, so I'm not going there anymore. Of course they did. Of course they did something. And so did you. Well, somebody said this about me one time. Yeah, you never said anything about anybody? Come on, be honest. If not with me, be honest with yourself. Be patient toward all men. What's the alternative if we don't? Verse 15. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. So, I can do this. I can be patient, or I can get even. If I try to get even, what happens? Verse 16, rejoice evermore. Well, I lose my joy. If I leave it with God, guess what happens? I keep my joy, and I continue to rejoice evermore. I'm not going to be the saved man who walks through town and has to look the other way because I can't say hello to another saved man. I'm not going there. That's not going to be me. Life is too precious to destroy it being bitter at people and holding grudges against people and trying to get even with people and trying to settle the score with people and trying to make sure everybody knows that you were right and they were wrong. Come on, nobody is right but God. Just write it out. The only people who came to see Job were his three friends. And by the time they'd been there a couple of days, he was wishing that they would just pack and leave. You know what he said? He told them, "Miserable comforters are ye all." I don't want to join that crowd. Are you down? Well, I don't want to pick through your life and find out why you're down and try to show you that you're to blame. Okay? Let's just get our eyes on the Lord and then get up. Okay? Let's go on. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. You've got to be patient with men. The ones that work at the immigration ministry that won't look you in the eye, but just stamp your paper and flit you away. And you've got no clue what you're supposed to do next, and they won't tell you either. Be patient. Be patient with the ones that flash their high beams at you to make you move out of their way, when they should be able to clearly see how unsafe that would be for if you did move out of the way. How about the ones that lose your brand new bed cover at the laundromat and then they just tell you, mafi mushkala, meaning you should just be happy to walk away empty-handed and stop bothering them about their poor business practices. That happened to us this week, that's if you're wondering. Still haven't got that bed cover back. Or what about the ones who promised to meet you somewhere at a certain time, but they didn't show up at a certain time? Things happen, you know. I mean, if something happens in my life and I can't get there, well, hey, I want you to be understanding. If something happens in your life and you can't get there, well, how dare you? Well, what's the difference? See, so that's something we need to get past those things. We need to get past that. All right, 2 Timothy 2:24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Look, verse 26, these are people who are in Satan's grip. Verse 25, these are people who are, yes, they're wrong. Verse 24, patient. Patient. Are they wrong? Give them time to get it right. God's giving you time to get it right. Does the devil have some foothold in their life? Be patient. He's got a foothold in your life too. The fact that you don't know that he's got one is probably the one he's got. Come on. there's none of us that aren't going to experience some sort of change at the rapture. You're not going to get to heaven and be exactly the way you ended up here. We got a long way to go, and we'll still have a ways to go by the time we get called out of this place. All right? And that includes me. You got a ways to go. I got a ways to go. So, yeah, I want you to be patient with me when I prove that I'm not perfect. And you want me to be patient with you when you prove that you're not perfect. That's all about the heart. Romans chapter 15. Romans 15. You say, so-and-so did something I don't like. Well, yeah, how about that? Today, I did something Jesus didn't like. What? Tell me. Well, a number of things, actually. You want to know what they are? You go first. Isn't that something? It's kind of interesting how it gets your curiosity. I say, all right, let me show you another verse in the Bible that'll help you know how to deal with your sin. And the enthusiasm level doesn't even register on the fun meter. Here we go again. Sin, sin, sin. But if I say, do you want to know what I did wrong today? What? What? Yeah, yeah. Boy, that old flesh, it's a powerful thing. All right, Romans 15, verse 3. For even Christ pleased not himself. Did you know that he didn't enjoy everything about walking through this old world? Did you know that he found some of it just downright unpleasant? For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have, and here it is again, hope. I get through this by looking to that. Verse 5, now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us, to the glory of God. Does he correct you? Sure he does. With unconditional love. Absolutely. Why? He's patient. He's patient. You know why he's patient with us? Because he loves us. And again, you put up with a lot from people that you love. You're willing to put up with a whole lot of things if you love that person. You don't put up with much of anything from people you don't love. And that's a real truth there. Very, very true. All right? Sometimes we've got to be patient with God and man at the same time. First Peter. Chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2. Sometimes it's God, sometimes it's man, and sometimes it's both. First Peter 2 and verse number 20. First Peter 2:20. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently. But if, when ye do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. Now, notice this. Maybe you hadn't noticed this before. This is really amazing. I say, Lord, I never did that man any wrong. I didn't do anything to him. Okay. Lord, I didn't give that guy any reason to do what he's doing to me. Okay. Well, Lord, what do you want me to do? Love him? Be kind? Be patient? Like I am toward you. Okay, Lord, and if I do, what do I get? You pass. Look, he didn't say this was something that was worthy of a reward. He said, that's acceptable. It's not a big deal if I take wrong patiently. It's just a passing grade. Passing was 70. I got a 71. You see that? Boy, I tell you, somebody did me wrong and I didn't lash out. Woo, let's throw a party. What a man you are. No, that's acceptable. God does that every moment of every day as he's dealing with us. Okay. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter number 1. Now in the margin of your Bible, you probably have some indication of the time frame here, something like 90. Mine says 96 A.D. A lot of them say 95 A.D. All right, so the time period here is going to be somewhere in the mid-90s. Jesus Christ, he's crucified in 33 A.D. And he said, the Lord said, behold, I come quickly. And sent the angels down who said, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. And so 60 years later, John, the Apostle John, has endured the heresy over law keeping. He's endured the division of the church at Corinth, and he endured the falling out between Paul and Barnabas, and the falling out between Paul and Peter, and the falling out between Peter and the church at Jerusalem. He has endured so many false teachings that there's one epistle after another that has to be written to saved people to straighten them out on their doctrine. Now here he is. He's in jail, rotting as an old man, and the Lord still hasn't come. You think John ever thought a time or two, well, things are running a little bit longer than I thought they would, and this train sure does go off the track a lot more frequently than I expected. And there he is, sitting in jail. You know, Jesus said, when you see Jerusalem compassed about with armies, it's been 25 years since that happened. John saw it happen. And he said, when you see this temple torn down and not one stone left upon another, then you know that the end is at hand. John saw that happen 25 years earlier. Old John, sitting there in that jail cell, and he writes here in verse number 9, all right, Revelation 1:9, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Now, how do you go through all of that upheaval and disappointment and anticipation only to end up in a jail cell, and he's still in the Spirit, and he's still rejoicing in the Lord? You say, why? Well, look at verse number 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. You know what he did? He just stayed occupied with Jesus Christ, not with people that had harmed the church and the people that had done him wrong and the people that threw him in jail and the God that hadn't come and set up the kingdom yet. He just stayed occupied with Jesus Christ. And he's still going strong despite all of life's disappointments. Look at Luke chapter 21. Luke 21. Here's a verse you can memorize the first time you read it. Luke 21, verse number 19. In your patience possess ye your souls. Look, you don't get patience from an outside location. You can't go buy it at Lulu's hypermarket. All right? You've got to come up with your own patience. That's 2 Peter 1. That's Luke 21. In your patience possess ye your souls. Don't lose patience with God. Don't lose patience with man. You stay patient. You stay hopeful. You keep that prayer life going. You keep your joy in the Lord. If you lose patience, you're going to start holding grudges. You're going to want to get even, and you're going to end up self-condemned. So stay patient. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10. Watch the future view. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 35. 10:35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. What do you need? You need patience. Did you notice in verse number 35? Your confidence carries with it your reward. Now, this is not be confident and one day you'll be rewarded. I mean, look what it says. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath, present tense, great recompense of reward. If I am patient because I am confident in God, what's my reward? My reward is I don't fret. I don't get angry. I don't get bitter. I don't destroy myself. I don't destroy my church. I don't destroy my testimony. I don't lose my relationship with God. Hey, that's a great reward, a present reward. Everything's going all wrong around me. Yeah, but I know what God is going to do. So I'll wait on him. I'll just wait on him. James chapter 1. Two more stops. James 1, verse number 2. This is one of those verses we all probably wish wasn't in the Bible. Verse 2 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." I tell you, God wrote a great book, didn't he? You know why I'm not patient? Because I want something. You know what it is to be patient? I don't want anything. If patience has its perfect work in my life, it says I want nothing. Wanting nothing. If it comes through today, well, great. Reason to rejoice. If it doesn't come through today, all right. If it gets worked out today, hallelujah. If it doesn't get worked out today, I'm saved. See, if I can let patience have her perfect work, it takes away all of that want. And it's all of that want that's what gets me so frustrated. Okay, it's all of that want that gets me so unhappy. So I need to get to the point where patience has its perfect work and I don't want anymore. All right, Revelation 14. Revelation 14. This is an interesting thing here. Revelation chapter 14, verse number 1. "And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him, 144,000. Okay, so I just wanted you to notice there's the Lord, the Lamb of God. He's standing on that heavenly Mount Zion, and who's with him? These 144,000. Now go down to verse number 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Where are they? They're in heaven. How are they? They're alive. Who are they with? They're with the Lamb of God. See, they ended up right where God said that they would end up. They ended up as alive as God said they would end up. They have ended up as safe in glory as God promised they would. So now whatever their attitude was along the way, still they got there. Had they gotten there being ever confident, if they were ever confident along the way, they're going to end up in that condition, you know, confident that that's where they were going to end up, then they most likely enjoyed the trip. Okay? If they got there angry and frustrated at every little bump along the way until they got to that spot, they probably didn't enjoy the trip. God wants you to enjoy the trip. This is the trip. Enjoy it. All right, so what's the Lord say? 2 Peter, and we'll end here. 2 Peter chapter 1, "I'm going there. I'm going to be with Jesus, and everything is going to end up just right. What do I need to do in the meantime? I need to diligently get some patience working in my life. Patience toward my parents. Patience toward my children. Patience toward my spouse. Patience toward my co-workers. Patience toward those people that rig the traffic signals. Patience toward those people I go to church with. Patience toward those people I used to go to church with. I mean, come on, it's going to turn out okay. We know that. And in the meantime, it's not all going to be okay. Okay, so let's just stay in love with the Lord and not with ourselves, and we'll handle it properly with God's blessing. All right? Patience. Patience. Whew, it's a hard thing. It's a hard thing. Let's stand and we'll pray. Father in heaven, we thank you once again for this very important lesson today. Lord, we've all failed and lost our temper, lost our patience, and reacted in a way that was hurtful to someone else and ended up hurting us. And Lord, maybe we didn't even learn the lesson when that happened. But now, Lord, help us to take to heart this lesson. Now having the understanding of where impatience comes from and you know where it leads to, help us, Lord, to recognize those times when we have failed, and to remember that by acting in patience, Lord, it glorifies you and it helps us to enjoy our lives more in it. And if we'll just let you, Lord, take care of the things that irritate us, knowing that you will take care of those things if they need to be taken care of, and you'll do it at the right time, in your time. Help us, Lord, to enjoy this trip on the way to glory, keeping our eyes on that glory and all the things that you've promised us to help us get through this life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.